Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather Report. This is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York, and every week I do a weekly weather report on the aspects that are in the heavens that we can expect to work with during the week ahead. And as you can tell, I'm a little late today. It was one of those kind of unusual, exciting things happened and changed, and suddenly it was a little after 2 and I was late kind of days. So we're going to talk this week about the weekly weather, what's happening in the sky, how you can work with it. I'm an astrologer in New York here at my bright red desk. You hear hammering in the background because there's hammering in the background at my house. It isn't quite finished yet, but I'm on the radio and we're off. We're running. We're moving. We're forward. Okay, so let's talk about the week. It is a Mercury station, Pluto station energy right now in the sky. Mercury stationed yesterday, Pluto stations tomorrow, and we're all moving forward. And so when Pluto stations to go forward and Mercury stations to go forward, we're having this major shift in energy that we're all feeling. Last week, Venus went into Scorpio on Wednesday, which caused this kind of shift in the tension in the world. And now we're having the expansion that follows that. So it's a very interesting week ahead of us. So we're going to talk a little bit about Venus in Scorpio, because she's in Scorpio for 100 days, with a little break in the middle of a brief respite of Libra days in the middle there for 22 days. But we have 100 days of Venus in Scorpio that started last Wednesday. So it's kind of this passion that we're going to be working with until January 7th. It's a long time. And we're going to be working with Venus in Scorpio energy as part of our story. And we're also going to be working with a lot of energy around making decisions and getting clear on things. So if we think about the heavens as being there to help us and guide us, one of the things that we find is that when they have energies flying around, they're giving us opportunities to change. So we had Venus go into to enter her shadow, really, which is 27 Libra, back to 1982, fall of 82, on September 5th, but she entered her shadow in the middle of Mercury retrograde, right? So Mercury went retrograde on the 20th of August, and he's been retrograde, went direct yesterday on the 12th. So he's going backwards, and then Venus enters her shadow in the middle of his backward motion. So kind of imagine the two of them. They're really good buddies, Venus and Mercury. And Mercury is communication, connection, relationship, probability, possibility, forward, forward, ideas, brilliance, creation, you know, he's communication. And so since the 20th of August, you've been really asked, because Mercury's in the sign he likes, Virgo, you've been asked to get clear on your dreams and your visions for what you want and your ideas of what it looks like. And also there can have been things that you thought you wanted that came in and you went, oh, wait, I don't really want that. I wanted this other thing. And that's all part of the Mercury retrograde. But in the middle of that, in the middle of Mercury's retrograde journey, Venus went into Scorpio, went into her shadow, 27 Libra. And then last week, while Mercury was still retrograde, Venus went into Scorpio. So Libra is about partnering. And Venus likes to be in Libra because it's about relationship and partnership and fair and balanced and even. And then when she goes into Scorpio, she gets a little more intense. A little more passionate, a little more over-the-top kind of crazy, a little more like I have to have it. And, you know, the imagery for this is the dark goddess who went down to the underworld to visit her sister who was mourning. And as she reached each of the gates, she had to take her clothes off, you know, until she was naked before her sister. And her sister said, well, thank you for visiting me, and I will release you from the underworld, but you have to go back. And the people who think you've died, whoever the first person is who's not happy to see you, has to come and take your place, right? So kind of a hard story. So she, you know, she goes up, being followed by the demons of hell, waiting to see who's going to take her place. And running ahead of her are people going, quick, she's coming back. Pretend you're happy to see her, otherwise you're going to hell. Well, her husband, who thought she disappeared into the underworld and now he could assume her throne, he found out that, you know, he didn't find out. He wasn't paying attention. He was becoming the new king. And so she appears, and he's not happy to see her. So immediately he gets taken off to the underworld, and then she's horribly distraught because he's left. So it's this whole imagery of wanting to be incredibly deeply passionate with someone, at the same time being willing to see them clearly, being willing to connect with them on a deeper level and see that intensity, to see the ability to merge, to see the ability to be transformed. And Venus in Scorpio, Scorpio's, you know, it's a pretty strong house. Why would Venus like being in Scorpio? Well, she doesn't. She's actually in her detriment when she's in the sign of Scorpio. But she's also really clear. So good, bad, or indifferent, people that I know with Venus in Scorpio, myself included, we tend to look on the darker side. We tend to look for the darkness. And we see it. And then we go, oh, there's the darkness. Okay. So if there's darkness, there has to be light. Okay, so there's the light. Okay. And then there's an understanding of what the darkness is for, why it exists. And Venus in Scorpio wants to merge on a really deep level. She wants to merge not only physically, but on a soul level. Therefore, when you merge on a soul level, there's an enormous vulnerability because, you know, you merged your soul. You didn't just get naked. You blended, you bonded, you connected. So Venus in Scorpio has this intense, passionate side to her that can be a little overwhelming on a bad day. On a good day, it's fabulous, right? And, I mean, the image I always use for people, and I probably need to come up with a newer image, is Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. And if you remember that movie, was pretty scandalous at the time it was filmed. It was Glenn Close and Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas was a married man, Scorpio, fooling around on his wife, Triangle, the cute little, I don't remember her name, but Ann Archer. Cute little Ann Archer with his wife with a kid and bunnies and, you know, a family and the whole nine yards. And he meets Glenn Close, and they have, like, amazingly hot sex in the elevator. And it's passion, passion, passion. And then Glenn finds out he's got a wife and that he's not leaving for her. And she starts to stalk him. So Venus in Scorpio is the stalker, too. The stalkers are going to all kick up. We're going to hear a lot more stalker stories in the news, unfortunately, but that's Venus in Scorpio's lesser, nastier side. And then she burns the kid's bunny, right? She boils the kid's bunny, and she comes and tries to kill him, and she's got a dark side, but she's got that really strong, passionate side, too. Now, we're not going to be Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, but I can guarantee you that at some point over the next 100 days of Scorpio passion, something in your chart's going to really get triggered because Venus goes up to 13, which means she covers half of the zodiac before she stations to go back, and then she goes all the way through the sign by January 7th. So we are going to be working with passions. Of course, the election's in the middle of this, so that's passion. And Scorpio rules taxes, so there's going to be a big tax thing about the elections. And, you know, so we're going to see Scorpio as taxes. We're going to see Scorpio as value, how we're valued by the other person or not. And we're going to find that very often when Venus in Scorpio shows up, she gets really upset about stuff or really paranoid or really, but she also is really deeply seeing things on a different level than she ever did before. So I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend who had delivered some news to somebody on Friday, and the person got very, very upset and started crying and wailing, and I'm like, it's Venus in Scorpio. You know, that's what you ran into when you told her that, and I'm sorry that reaction happened. And she goes, well, and then she got really manipulative. And I'm like, there's Venus in Scorpio again, a little manipulative on a bad day. Now, we also sometimes accuse Scorpio of being paranoid, you know. They're not paranoid. They actually see all the stories. So I had a friend who was planning on going on a trip with someone, and the Scorpio said, well, you know, I think da-da-da-da-da, and kind of nailed the story. Scorpio doesn't miss much, okay? So Venus in Scorpio means we're all going to see things clearly, too, during our 100 days of passion. So we're going to see things clearly. We're probably going to be a little paranoid. We're going to be a little over the top with passion. Now, people got excited with me back when Mars was in Leo, and I said the shallow side of Leo is envy. Mars and Leo can be envious. All right, so don't go yelling at me that Venus and Scorpio doesn't mean that. The lower side can be paranoid, and it is okay. You know, I have Venus in Scorpio. I live with this aspect, or this planetary placement. It's understanding that the passion has a greater purpose, that the Venus in Scorpio really wants to get to the bottom of things. It's the follow the money. You know, when they would say to people in Deep Throat, they said, follow the money. Accounting. Accounting 101. Scorpios rule accounting. If you know where the money is spent, you know where the bodies are buried. So that Scorpio's got that element of deep, deep abiding passion. Now, the interesting thing is she went into her shadow and then also went into Scorpio while Mercury was retrograde. So all of us that have been working on revising what our dream is since the T-square started to separate last August, and then Mercury went retrograde and said, okay, let's get really clear on this because I'm in Virgo. I'm taking lists. I'm matching colors. I'm figuring out what actually we're really doing here. And then Venus went into Scorpio and she said, I am going to let you know what your deepest passion is. Because for all of us, for the next 100 days, well, the next until January 7th, but 100 days worth of Venus in Scorpio, we're all going to be dealing with passion. We're all going to be dealing with deep desire. We're all going to be wanting to merge on a greater level, to really get to the bottom of things, to really dive in deeply, to really profoundly explore. Fabulous time to be in therapy. Great time to clear out your stuff. Great time to get to the bottom of things and really deeply mess and immerse yourself in them because Scorpio's got that passion. And it's willing to do that work. It's willing to go in and clean out those places. It's also willing to go in and look at those places. So you can find yourself over the next 100 days of passion, really impassioned about something, positively or negatively. Pay attention to it. Because remember, that passion is designed to get you focused on what you really truly want. And remember, the T-square is separating. All those planets are in cardinal signs. Pluto's in a cardinal sign. Saturn's in a cardinal sign. Uranus and Jupiter go back into cardinal signs January and March, and they are all kicking butt, taking names and recording things. And when they're in cardinal, they want to create. They want to start new cycles. So Saturn's whipping along now. He's past the point of his station last January where he stopped, and now he's into new territory. And he goes all the way up to 17 by January, and then he stations to come back to 11. So he's really pushing for new territory, too, between now and January. So Saturn's in Libra, answering to that 100 days of Venus in passion. Now, the first chunk, while Venus is moving forward, is really illuminating. That's through, like, the 8th or the 10th, I don't remember which, and I don't have my calendar in front of me because, of course, I called in late to the show and I didn't get all my stuff together, but I'm going to blame it on Mercury retrograde. Still stationing. So Venus is going forward till she stations, which is in October, and then she goes backwards, and then she goes back into Libra, and then she goes forward again, and then she clears her shadow, and then she's into new territory. But Venus is ruling Saturn. Think about that. Venus is ruling Saturn. So Saturn has gone from being ruled by Libra, which he likes a lot. I mean, he's still in Libra. But Venus is now out of Libra, answering to Saturn and Scorpio. So our structures are much more Scorpionic than they were before. And Saturn, of course, is ruling Pluto's sign of Capricorn. So we've got Scorpio, big, big Scorpio stuff going because Venus is in charge of it. Venus also is ruling Mars, who is in Libra right now. So he is also in Scorpio by honorary answering to Venus. So think about that. Think about what happened last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and how everything just kind of shifted. And the dream came in, new form, new vision, new something, with the idea of, okay, this is the dream. How are we going to build it between now and how are we going to get clear on it? How are we going to envision it? Because whenever we start something new, and I think this is important to remember, we get the idea, the great idea. Then we get inspired, fire. Then we have an emotional attachment to it, meaning we can really kind of imagine it happening for us, or we believe it's possible. We kind of go, gee, I really, that would be really nice, and our little heart kind of engages. and then we get it. Earth, we create. So Venus in Scorpio has a really strong energy of wanting emotionally, desiring. She desires at a very deep emotional level because she is in a water sign. She's in a fixed water sign. She's in a dark water sign because Scorpio rules the swamps. So she's fixed and she's dark and she's deep. And dark and deep are not bad, but they're not the norm in the sense that most people don't say, gee, I want to hang out, you know, in the Scorpio parts of the world. Think about what Scorpio rules. Rules the garbage. Yeah. Rules the museums. Some museums are nice. They're cleaned up Scorpio places. But if you've ever gone to a museum with a five-year-old, they're very pointing out, it's all naked people. I never realized there were so many naked things. But there are naked things all over the Metropolitan Museum of Art. The other point is, they're all dead. Yeah, museums are full of dead things. those armors in the Hall of, you know, the Hall of Knights, people wore those. All the people that are in the pictures are all dead. You know, I mean, it's like, go with a five-year-old sometime. You get a really different way of looking at museums. But Scorpio has that energy. It's got that wanting to look at it in a whole new way. Noticing that there's all these penises around. I went with a little five-year-old girl. She goes, there's another penis. I'm like, there is. There's a lot of penises here. More breasts. I'm like, right, more breasts. She's now 23. But when she was five, it was an adventure to go to a museum with her. Understand that Scorpio desire nature is very, very strong. We're all going to be having it for 100 days. Now, the other thing, so that's your overarching theme for the next 100 days. The other thing that happens is tomorrow, the 14th, Pluto stations to go direct. And when he stations to go direct, what he does is he says, okay, I'm moving forward. Now, he stopped last spring to go backwards. And when he stopped, he said, forward motion has ceased. Now we're going to go backwards. And so now he's moving forwards again. And he's going to come back over where the point he was where we have the eclipses in the springtime. And he also is going to come forward and connect with the nodes in November. Okay, so we've got October and November. Now, we recently started speaking again in the city. We were speaking for 3.5 years at East West Books, which got closed on the eclipse, boom, and in June. And now we've recently started speaking at the Open Center, and we went back in on an eclipse, boom. And one of the things that I had been saying is stock market collapse. Now, they were like, the stock market didn't collapse. And I'm like, right. There's three time frames that the astrologers have been looking for stock market collapse. One was in May, and we did have the flash crash, but nothing, it wasn't firm, wasn't final. Then in August, when the T-square formed, which was the one I was subscribing to. And then the next one is October, end of October, beginning of November this year, which other astrologers were looking at that for. So there's three, you know, the astrologers kind of decided, oh, you know, we've all kind of picked the sections we like best. So for those of you who listen to me about the stock market changing, the last pass for the ones, there were people that were voting for October, November. Me, I was going for August. Didn't happen in August. I love being wrong. This is a good thing to be wrong about. So we do watch that energy kind of still coming. So that's also the, you know, with Pluto now going forward, because he was retrograde while the cardinal cross took place, so nothing collapsed. But now he's going forward, and he is going to go over those points, that first, second week in November, and Venus stations to go retrograde. She'll be going backwards at that point. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And hopefully it won't collapse. Hopefully we'll be fine. But, you know, if you're still waiting on the edges of the market, continue to wait. For those, because those astrologers, not me, I thought it was August. I totally am lined up with the August people. They all thought it would be November. Okay, so forward. We have this week Pluto stationing going direct and Mercury stations going direct. Mercury stationed on Sunday, the 12th. Pluto stations tomorrow. They are trying to each other. Mercury and Pluto are talking to each other in the sky in Earth. Again, it's a manifestation sign. So part of the reason I was late today was the guy who's been helping me, Gio, the wonderful Gio, has been helping me decorate my apartment, and I've got a new chair and a new couch, and he came today. And he said, I'm coming, you know, we're going to do rugs. So So I'm like, okay, thinking he's bringing rug samples. He actually brought rugs. So it's like, okay, let's, you know, Mercury-Pluto station, trine to the north node. These are my rugs. They're beautiful. And they're these lovely forest green. Rose came in and she goes, it looks like a forest floor. They look like rugs you want to have sex on. So I'm totally ready with my Venus and Scorpio. Like, yes, these are the rugs. So we moved the furniture, put the rugs down, and then all of a sudden it was 2 o'clock and I was late for my radio show. But yes, the passion, the desire. So watch what happens what happened Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because these guys are stationing, trying to each other, and trying to the North Node, pulling us forward, making us move into a new direction. Okay, very important. The other thing that happens is on the 14th, Mars goes into Scorpio, which is a sign he loves. Mars in Scorpio is eminently happy, totally pleased, thrilled, thrilled, thrilled beyond words, and he loves being in Scorpio. So he enters Scorpio on the 14th at 6:30 at night. So that's great, and we're really moving forward, conquering the world, Pluto direct, Mars forward. The rest of the week is good node stationing on the 16th, which is Thursday, I guess, and then we also have the sun aspecting a bunch of things, kind of waking us up. And then last but not least, on the 18th, which is this weekend, we have Jupiter joined with Uranus Part 2. Now on June 5th and 6th, Jupiter and Uranus joined in Aries for the first time. And then they make two more unions. They have one this week on the 19th, 18th, 19th, depending on where you live. And they have another one in January. So the one this week is at 28 of Pisces. So it's stimulating all of our partnership energies, helping us work on partners, helping us work in relationship. And it's also making us very aware of those last degrees of Pisces. Now, we love the last degrees of any sign, but Pisces last degrees are really hard last degrees because it's the end not only of the sign, but it's the end of the cycle. So Jupiter and Uranus joining at the last degrees of Pisces mark the end of major cycles. And in the case of Jupiter, it's a 12-year cycle, which is 1998. In the case of Uranus, it's an 84-year cycle, which is 1927. Okay? It's a long, long cycle. Now, we have two of them. We have one in September, and then we have another one on January 9th. Okay, January 8th, 9th, depending on where you live. And that one is the final one. But this one is big because it's at the late degrees of Pisces. Okay, so being at the late degrees of Pisces, it's a highly unstable degree. Unstable, not stable, not stationary. That means you can expect changes, major changes, as part of its energy because it is a little unstable and it really is working to start a whole new cycle. It also is ending a major cycle that you've been involved with for 12 years or 84 years. It also is a new opportunity for healing and revising and revisiting and starting another cycle off. So for that point, it's good. And it also is exciting. So we like it from the excitement point of view, too. That it's got a great opportunity for excitement and movement and forward, and here we go, and yeah, 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 and yeah, 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 and all good, all to the good. So watching it, we say, good, let's go. And this whole energy of this week is very much watching it, okay, let's go. Because Mars is in a new sign, Venus is in Scorpio, and it just gives a lot of Scorpio energy towards total transformation. And transforming things and shifting things and helping them all move forward, okay? So it's good. It's all to the good, but it also is all to being clear on what you're trying to create and what you're trying to accomplish, because that's all part and parcel of this story. And we really do need you being focused, or the universe wants you to focus, I guess is the best way to say it, on what do you really deeply, truly want. And that is the focus, for many of us, it's like, okay, if I'm going to do this, what does this look like? If I want this, what do I have to do to get there? If that's my vision and my dream, what next has to happen? And so it's all about you getting clear and saying, I get it. This is what I'm really looking for. This is what is part of my vision of what I want. Okay? So when we see that, we go forward with that whole process. Okay? So somebody wrote to me, Susan, wrote and said, energy medicine, you know, she wanted to know about what the planetary configuration said about energy medicine. Energy medicine is an area of study that encompasses chakras, the body's electricity, and our ability to use our own energy to heal. I'm wondering how the planetary alignment could affect our body's energy. Do you have any insights? And energy is very active because of all the Scorpio stuff. We got a lot of Scorpio stuff in the air. And Scorpio rules the physicians. So it's very much the physicians in the air and the physicians in our bodies and the healing energy of our bodies. So they are really very, very strong in terms of helping us kind of figure out what's going on and where we're going, right? So this energy is deep and profound, and it's also transformative. Now, Scorpios are really also very hard to kill. You know, if you know Scorpio people, they don't die easy. They're tough. They're where the cats come back with nine lives. It's a passionate and not able to get rid of kind of placement. They're very deeply strong. And the Scorpio energy is very much about transformation and healing. That's part and parcel of this whole energy that we're working on. Okay, so it's if we go forward, we're working in this incredibly deeply and big, profound time. So I would think energy healing would really pop up. We also should have some, you know, with Venus and Scorpio, we should be hearing about side effects for energy or medicine, because that will be also part of it. And also there's a whole energy around transformation. So it's all of us agreeing to go through the transformation that we are facing. And let me look and see if I have any callers. Okay. I don't see any. All right, good. And then question was, full moon conjunct the south node, full moon conjunct the north node. Whenever that happens, you know, people write me questions too. So if you do have questions, feel free to write. In the email is annortley@yahoo.com, or you can access my website, AstroAnn, if you don't know how to spell my last name, AstroAnn.com, and it has contact Ann. So someone wrote and said, what happens when the full moon is conjunct the north or the south node? Whenever a full moon is conjunct the north or south node, that's an eclipse. Okay, so you can tell if you were born on an eclipse or during an eclipse period if your full moon is on the nodes. Okay, so for the full moon to be conjunct the node, you're in an eclipse period and you are an eclipse baby. It tends to make the moon much more emotional, much more passionate, and also has a whole energy of creation associated with it. If it is conjunct the south node, usually it's an emotional release, or it can be a physical release. People often leave when the full moon is on the south node. Remember, it only happens a couple times a year, and if you have that as a natal node, you know, that can be a departure time too. Full moon conjunct the north node, usually you get invited to go in a new direction. You get asked if you want to go in another to another place, you get called to your future. So there's a great pull towards moving forward. Then when the full moon conjuncts or opposes the planet, whenever the moon, we're going to have that, we had that this weekend, the moon conjuncted Venus in Scorpio. It's called an occultation. When a planet comes and lands on the moon, by declination they're in the same location, and by sign they're in the same location. So it doesn't happen all the time. But when they're on the same degree above or below the equator, and when they're on the same sign, it's called, it can be a conjunction or occultation. It amplifies the energy, the emotional energy of the planet. So let's say, like this week, we had Venus and Scorpio joined to the moon. So I had the friend who had the friend erupt on her emotionally, right, out of the blue, kind of craziness. Not wanting to share, essentially, was the real story, because it was Scorpio. I don't want you to do that with them. I want you to do that with me. That's Scorpio, possessive, controlling, paranoid, you know, crying, whatever, manipulative down the road a little bit once the crying didn't work effectively. So that's Scorpio, the passion. But it amplifies the energy. The moon of the Scorpio amplified the Venus Scorpio, kicked it up, said make it bigger, make it wider, make it larger, make it stronger. And Scorpio does do that. So we often find that there is an amping up of the emotional energy of whatever the planet is. Moon, Pluto. Moon, you know, you get emotional about Pluto issues. Moon, Sun. You're emotional in general, you know, because you're born on a new moon. Moon, Mercury. You're emotional about communications. Often those are writers. It often finds the emotional work that the planets want to do when a moon is on a planet, when it's joined to it. If it's opposite to it, very often emotionally you don't identify with that planet. So when the moon is opposite a planet, you kind of say, well, I don't know how to do it. So moon opposite Venus, right? The Venus is, and the moon are at different energies. So basically when you were a little kid, your mother couldn't show you women can be Venusian and maternal at the same time. There's an inherent conflict. They're either Venus and love goddesses or they're moms. And that's where we get the Madonna whore complex, you know, the whore of Venus, because Venus was venereal disease. She really was the love goddess. You went to the temple of Venus and had Venusian things happen to you versus Madonna, the mother, the moon. So Venus opposite the moon, you have the Madonna whore complex or, you know, conflict between how do I do love and maternal. So there's a real interesting mix in how this all lays out. And so when we look at it, we say, okay, what are we doing here? This is big. This is big. Now this week actually, the beginning of the week doesn't have great aspects, but on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the moon is in Capricorn. Fabulous closing aspects. Go for stuff those days to get things out the door and moved. Then it's in Aquarius over the weekend, which is intellectual, and it joins to Neptune, so there's an inspirational component to it. And right now, the moon is in Sagittarius, so it's a little over the top and a lot of running around and a lot of craziness. So we kind of are having the fire, earth, air this week. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, great days for things to happen. Lovely, lovely aspects, lovely closing aspects. Planets are happy. Everybody's moving forward. A little intense. Can be a little over the top because Venus is in Scorpio. But Mars is in Scorpio too, and he's catching up with her, and he's trying to keep her happy, right? So he's working with Venus, and Venus and Mars together, nice combination. They really work well together. So not a bad week at all. And a week where we're really going to be seeing a lot of new passions come to light and change and shift. So that's kind of the focus for it. It's not a bad week. It's happy, content. We should be busy, and forward we go. So another email from Jill saying, hi, I listened to your show. Can you explain the difference between a progress chart and a natal sometime? I know the natal, but I'm not sure what a progressed is. For example, you said you had Mercury retrograde in your progress chart. Does that stay stable? Yes. Okay. So Jill and everybody else that doesn't know the difference between a progressed and a natal chart, the natal chart is the chart you're born with. So that is your master chart. That's the chart we look at for your quote-unquote natal potential. We look to see why you're here. We look to see what you're here to do. We look to see all sorts of things. Your whole life is described by that natal chart. Then what happens is you're born, and you're a day old, and then you're a month old, and then you're a year old, and then you're 40 years old. And each of those days is included in what's called your progressed chart. So we look at you for a day old, for 10 years old, for 90 years old, and we look at what's called your progressions. Now, there's two kinds. There's solar progressions, meaning, or they're also called secondary progressions, and there's tertiary progressions, which are lunar progressions. So secondary progressions are the sun, how you emotionally, intellectually, ego-based develop over time. And then tertiary progressions are lunar progressions, and they talk about your emotional development over time. And we astrologers use the two kinds of progress charts. There's also a primary kind, which the use of that's kind of fallen out of favor. I mean, it's not, you can't use it, but most people these days use secondary progressed and tertiary progress charts. Most times when people say progress, they're referring to secondary. Not that many people use tertiaries. But progress chart says this is how you've grown. So what the astrologer does is he looks at your natal chart, and then he looks at how far along you are in your life. Let's say you're 40 years old, and he progresses your chart 40 years forward into the future. And he says, what would Jill be doing 40 years from now? What are her planets doing 40 years from now? And they read that as a regular chart. It looks just like your natal chart, except it says this is how she's grown. So if you think of your natal chart as that was the seed that was planted when you were born, and then you grow, and you become ripe, and you bloom. First you bloom, then you become fertilized, then you become ripened, then your leaves all fall off, then you die. That's your life cycle. You know, we have that evolutionary cycle, very similar to plants. So essentially you're a turnip, or a carrot, or perhaps the petunia. But you were born, you ripen, you grow, you bloom, you send your seeds off into the world, and then you leave this mortal coil. So the progress chart is the chart that we look at to say when the natal chart is actually ready for things to happen. Because we know that every year the sun goes in the, you know, goes around the chart and sets off every planet. And every 30 years Saturn goes around the chart and sets off all the planets. Those are transits. But why on this particular transit did you want to get divorced, whereas on those other five transits before that you put up with it and you said, okay, I'll put up with it one more time. The secondary progressed or the tertiary progressed are where we look to find that answer, because they're going to say, are you actually ready to do it? You might have thought about it, but you weren't ready. So you know all those times when you say, I'm going to lose 100 pounds, and you haven't lost 100 pounds. And you're like, I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year, and you haven't lost 100 pounds. What makes this year different than last year? What makes the other years before not have it happen? What was the reason why you quit smoking that time? Your secondary progress shows there was a shift. Emotionally, you were ready to shift it. Ego-wise, your body was ready to create that change. And that's why progress charts are so important for prediction. A lot of times, people use transits. And I don't have a problem with transits at all. But what makes one transit more juicy than another, the secondary progress chart will show you that. So we look at that. Now, a lot of times people kind of know this a little bit, you know, like you can feel it. Like when you were, let's say you were, you know, you were born in a sun sign of, let's say you were born, like in my case, 18 Virgo. So when I was 12 years old, I turned into a Scorpio, right, because I went 30 degrees as a Virgo. And then at 12 years of age, I turned into a Scorpio. And then I'm a Scorpio for 30 years. So I was a Libra. Turned into a Libra, Mercury retrograde, yeah. Turned into a Sun in Libra for 30 years. So I was in sales. I talked to people for a living. I, you know, communicated about what work they needed to have done, Virgo. On their computers are ruled by Virgo because they're servants. They are supposed to be our servants. Then my progressed Sun went into Scorpio at age 42, and I found astrology. And now I am 56. And I've been studying, really working in astrology since 94, but I got really into it about 14 years ago when my progressed Sun went into Scorpio. And in 2010, when my progressed Sun came to my Venus in my natal chart, I said, I'm going to make my money being an astrologer instead of being a computer girl. So we also watch the progress chart to see when you're ready for stuff, because it shows us, okay, now she's really ready to pull the plug on computers and just be an astrologer, make her money through Venus and Scorpio matters. And I talk to people a lot about what the deeper parts of their chart, Scorpio things, you know, what their deeper desires are, Venus and Scorpio. My progress Sun came to set that off, so the way I earn money changed. The way I earn a lot of things changed when progress Sun came to Venus and Scorpio. It shows you the emotional ripening of the chart and the ego ripening of the chart, the progress charts. So in my natal chart, I have Mercury in Libra, direct. And, you know, you always say, oh, Mercury in Libra, Mercury in Libra. When you're a Virgo, so you're ruled by Mercury, important planet. And I now have Mercury retrograde by progression, meaning there was a point in my life when Mercury got as far as he was going to go and he stopped. And he moved backwards. He's moving backwards for 21 years. And then he's going to stop and then in a few years from now and go forward again. But I noticed that when Mercury was retrograde, I got new jobs. And I used to be nervous about taking them, and I'm like, but wait, my progressed Mercury is retrograde. So actually getting a job offer on a Mercury retrograde is not a bad thing for me, and taking it is not a bad thing. And I have a client who is a lawyer, and he has Mercury retrograde natally. So every time when Mercury goes retrograde natally, he settles his cases. He's a lawyer who works on a lot of contingency. So that's when all his cases happen, and he makes big chunks of money 4 times a year on the Mercury retrograde, and the rest of the year is spent getting ready for the Mercury retrogrades. Mercury retrogrades can be very powerful. You know we just had one. And the energy of it is all about revising, revisiting, re-seeing, seeing things in a new light. So it's an interesting place. And watching your progress chart shows you where you're ready. And then the other way we use progressions, it's very, very common, is the moon. Every 2.5 years or 30 months, the moon changes signs in your secondary progress chart. Because every 2.5 years, the moon changes, 2.5 days, the moon changes sign. So every 2.5 years. So you watch that progressed moon happen, and that's what you're emotionally in the mood for. So I've got a progressed moon now in Taurus. Ooh, I'm like looking at, you know, I got a new refrigerator, I'm redecorating my house, I'm doing the luxurious things with Taurian money, you know, like, ooh, yeah, I really want the, ooh, I really want, you know, my desire nature is very, very high right now. When my cat's birthday is when my cat's progressed moon went into Aries, he got much more bossy, very jumping on people and, you know, kind of, not on people, jumping on the other cats and being very bossy. When the progressed moon went into Mercury, one cat got nonstop talking, just talked all the time, was talking to me, I don't know what he was saying, but he was meowing at me. You know, when he pooped, when he peed, he wanted a litter box, he'd come out and go, meow, meow, like go scoop the litter. You know, the food bowl is empty, meow, meow, I want more food. It's a very interesting place, and you watch emotionally what you're ready for. So if you have, like, progressed moon in Capricorn, you're really interested in working really hard. Progressed moon in Aquarius, you want to be free, you know. So a lot of times you look at the progressed moon as a timer also for when things are going to happen. So you can see when the progressed moon changes signs, someone says, well, I'm thinking of selling my house. Moon rules the house. Progressed moon changes signs. It's a no-brainer to predict that that's when they're going to move, because the progressed moon will show you changes in the emotional state and changes in the home. Fortunately, progressed moon will get out of Taurus soon, and I will stop spending money on my house. But today I bought 2 rugs, and they are beautiful. They are really gorgeous. So forward we go. So watching your progress chart is to show you when the natal chart is ripe. And it's really easy. You know, if you've ever done any kind of gardening or any kind of, you've gone on apple picking, and you're apple picking on the tree, and you pull on the apple and it doesn't come out, not ripe yet. When you pull on the apple and it's ripe, it just pops right off. That is progressed. The progressed chart says it's ripe. As opposed to you looking at it and you're going, it looks like it might be ripe, and you pull and nothing happens, and you go, nope, not ripe yet. That's the natal. So the natal is the potential. It looks like it's almost ripe. The progress says, yes, it's ripe. So we love the progress chart because it gives us a lot of information. And the best book I've ever read on it, there's 2 authors I recommend. Betty Lundsted has a couple books on it, and Nancy Hastings, both excellent. And I also like Bruce Hammersklogs. I'm not sure I'm saying that right, Hammersklold. You may have to find that one in out of print. And he explains the progress very well. And, of course, Marcia McEvers, I think it's book 3 or 4 of theirs. But progressions are really, really important for predictive work, because someone can look at a transit and say, oh, that's a huge transit, and nothing happens. And then they can look at a little dinky little something, but the progressions are moving. And the little dinky something can be enormous because the progressions are right. So you know how you had a friend and the friend was mean to you and you would always say, stop being so mean, stop being so mean. And they'd really done some snarky stuff to you, and then they did something really little, and you'd had it. You had just had it. The straw that broke the camel's back phrase, you know? I've had it with you. That would mean that your progress chart said you actually were ready to end the relationship. And up until then, you still weren't ready to let it go. But when that progressed chart shifted, you were like, I'm there, I'm out of here. It's that straw that breaks the camel, and that means the progress chart has ripened and said, we are now ready to make the change. Change it, baby, and it does. So that's the scoop. And because it is today and I have like a crazy day ahead of me, I'm going to make the show a little shorter than usual. But I am going to say Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, fabulous days to do things. Moon is in Capricorn. Really very productive, great closing aspects. Everybody's moving forward. Everybody's happy. Good, good time to get things accomplished. So go for it and have a good time. And then the weekend is fun, creative, playful. Aquarius moon joined to Neptune, dreamy. And then today and tomorrow, Pluto stationing, so intense. Pay attention to what you hear, what you heard, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Those are very important days to hear things because Mercury and Pluto are stationing, trine to each other, and trine to the North Node. So you're going to hear stuff that's really important, so pay attention to it. And next week the show will be on at 9 o'clock on Sunday night. And if you're interested, we are now, Mark Woltz and I are now speaking again at the Open Center at 22 East 30, between 5th and Madison. At 6:30 on Tuesday nights, it's $5 to get in, and we had a good turnout last week, and hopefully we continue to have good turnouts. And I think that's all. So have a great week, and happy Venus in Scorpio, happy Mars in Scorpio, 100 days of passion. Get ready, it's coming. Bye.